that's all, that's all. I can only give you country walks in springtime, and a hand to hold when leaves begin to fall, and a love whose burning light will warm the winter night. That's all, that's all. There are those, I am sure, who have told you they would give you the world for a toy. All I have are these arms to enfold you, and a love time can never destroy. If you're wondering what I'm asking in return,
order. This is the Public Engagement Commission's meeting for Wednesday, October 19th, 2022. Sorry, October, folks. Kind of fast.
Yes.
Okay. First thing I want to do is do the Pledge of Allegiance. So if we're ready to begin, ready? Begin. Mm-hmm. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you so much. All right. I will ask if we can do a roll call for our commission. Michelle.
Yes. Hi, everyone. Nice to see you this evening. I'll take the roll call now. Commissioner Klein Rothschild?
Here.
Commissioner Massey?
Here.
Commissioner Uribe?
Here.
I see Commissioner Ibarra as an attendee, so we're going to work on getting him moved over. In the meantime, I'll continue with roll call. Youth Commissioner Yao?
Here.
Commissioner Uribe, are you on now?
I am.
Okay, great.
This is Ray.
Vice Chair Schneider?
Here.
And Chair Paz?
Here. I think at this point in time, I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Hoover. Go ahead.
Good evening, everybody. It's so great to see you all here. I'm glad we could all be together. And it is my pleasure to introduce our new city manager, Robert Nisbet, who wanted to come on the meeting tonight to say hello to all of you and introduce himself. We are very lucky to have Mr. Nisbet. Yeah, he has been working now since September 1st with the city. A lot has happened even in the short time he's here. It's been busy as usual in the city of Goleta. I will let him tell his own story, but just can't say enough about what a great addition it is to have him here. I got to personally meet him at the damn dinner, and then since then, we've just been working together. But he comes from the city of Half Moon Bay as their city manager, but he is a familiar face to Santa Barbara County and a UCSB Gaucho. So a lot of history here. And with that, I will turn it over to our new city manager, Robert.
Thanks, Kelly, for those very kind words. And thanks for allowing me to crash your meeting tonight. I'll make it short. And then I do plan to stay around and just listen and watch, if that's okay. It's really nice to be here and be the next city manager for the city of Goleta. So as Kelly said, I did start on September 1st. And so I guess I'm in my seventh week, and it has been a bit of a whirlwind. My wife and I, besides starting a new job, which is always, tough, can be tough, I guess. We also, had to move from the Bay Area. We were living in Half Moon Bay. And then we made it a point to buy a house. You know, we wanted to buy quickly so we didn't have to move twice and really, you know, get back into Santa Barbara and stay here. So it was a lot going on, but it's just been a warm welcome from the community and the council, the staff, and I'm just trying to make the rounds and meet as many people as I can and do that part of it. And I think Kelly alluded to it a little bit. Although I come from Half Moon Bay, I was here in the area years ago. I've been up in the Bay Area for 10 years, so it's been a while. That 10 years on the one hand went fast, but it was 10 years. but it's really, before that I was here in this area for 25 years. So I was here quite a long time, went to UCSB and always then worked in local government. I've met one member, Sylvia Arribi, and I met at the Lemon Festival. It was nice to meet you there. And Susan, I think we used to work together at the county, different departments, but Susan, you were public health, as I recall, and I was general services, and I left in 2012, and it's nice to see you, and I assume, I don't know, are you still there, or have you moved on?
I'm no longer with the county. I'm now just consulting, doing part-time work, and doing things to contribute the community, and I live and love Goleta, so this is a great place to contribute.
Awesome. Nice. Really nice to see you again, because it's been a long time. So that's, yeah, kind of the brief story. I worked, for Santa Barbara County for 13 years. So Susan and I were there together for quite a while and crossed paths on various things that we worked together on. I was in charge of all the county buildings and IT and stuff like that. So I was in a position to engage with a lot of county employees and departments and really understand the inner workings of Santa Barbara County, which I think is helpful now in my job here at Goleta. But like I said, then we moved up to the Bay Area and it was a good experience. I worked in parks for a while and that was a great experience. And so 6 years for a big park department before I went to Half Moon Bay. But yeah, it's great to be back. My wife's really happy we're back. Half Moon Bay, you know, it was the pandemic years. It was tough years. But we love that we're back. We just keep pinching ourselves that we're back in this area, and I'm working for the city of Goleta. So that's my story. I'd be happy to have people go around and introduce themselves. And if there's any questions for me, I'd be happy to take them. And then, like I said, I'm gonna hang out and just listen to your meeting tonight, if that's okay.
Yes, welcome. I'll start and then I'll pass it on to Ms. Schneider. Actually, you have a number of ex or recovering county employees here, including myself. Kelly is actually an ex-county employee as well. So you have a few.
Your name seems familiar too, Pedro. Did we meet? I believe we did. I don't know.
Way back when, yes, I used to work at First Five. I worked there for 11 years. So yeah.
Yes.
So quite a bit of time. We overlapped a little bit of time in terms of that. So I am now on this commission representing the city of Goleta. I'm happy to be here because I love Goleta. This is where I grew up. This is my hometown. I am also a gaucho, also a charger. City College graduate. So yeah, I'm very local. So I'll pass it on to Ms. Schneider. Go ahead.
Great to see you again.
Thank you.
Well, hi. We may have passed each other at some point. I retired recently as faculty at UCSB and was there for 40 years. So it's possible we were there at the same time.
Very possible. Yeah, yeah. I was in South Hall economics. I don't know if it's still economics, but that's where
It's still economics. I was in sociology and what was once women's studies, now feminist studies, and director of the McNair Scholars Program. So I recently retired, and as I was telling Sylvia, I've taken a fancy to the city college classes for people over the age of 55 or however old you have to be. And I'm taking a bunch of art classes now, in addition to the work I'm continuing to do with the Santa Barbara Women's Political Committee. So
Great to meet you.
Very nice to meet you.
Yeah. Why don't we go into you, Commissioner Yao, and introduce yourself.
Sure. So, hello, I'm Youth Commissioner Yao, or Kyle. I started my journey with the city by completing the LEAD Academy, second class, very proud of that. Learned a lot about the city, wanted to get involved. So I applied for PEC and for Public Engagement Commission, I guess, and I got in. You know, I started actually, this time marks about the 1 year anniversary of when I started working with the council. Or the commission, sorry. And like Chair Paz, I'm a charger and am applying to UCSB as one of my schools. So it's pretty cool.
Very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Let's go ahead and go to Ms. Uribe.
Sorry about that. I was on it. We met, as you said, at the Lemon Festival. That was nice. And seen your face at that time, and now I know. I also worked at the county for 15 years with the district attorney's office, so probably we crossed paths somewhere in there. But so now I am retired from the county, and I am doing a business translation interpreting business and serving here in this commission, and I'm really recruited as a chaplain for the sheriff's office.
Great. No, nice to see you and make that connection. Yeah, we probably did cross paths for sure. I was very involved in building the district attorney's building across from the courthouse. That was one of my charges early on when I was with the county.
Yeah, well, I came into the district attorney's office just when it was already, the people were already there. So,
okay.
So I didn't meet you then, but for sure I saw you somewhere because yeah, your face was not totally foreign to me.
Let's go to the phone. We have Mr. Ibarra. Ray, can you unmute yourself?
Hello. Thank you. Yes, my name is Ray Ibarra. I too am a retired county employee, and I was also the president of one of the SEIU unions. That's where I probably know you.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm here now working and being part of a great organization and great commission, I believe. Done
great.
A lot.
Ray, what department were you in at the county?
Social services.
Okay. Yeah.
And lastly, Ms. Massey, you're on the phone. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Barbara Massey. And interestingly enough, I've been involved with the city before anybody else, practically, other than council members and staff, because I was helping them unload county trucks full of planning data and have been involved with the city ever since. But interestingly enough, I used to live in Half Moon Bay. Mm-hmm. I lived there for 9 years in the late, well, in most of the 1960s, actually.
Wow.
And a little in the 70s. And loved it there, was chairman of the planning commission. I've always been involved in planning. And I'd love to have about 15 minutes with you to talk about Half Moon Bay because I haven't been back in a long time.
Sure.
But welcome. I'm glad to have you here.
Nice to meet you.
Well, welcome again. And thank you for joining us. And please, yeah, we'll listen in. And I hope you enjoy our meeting. Thank you. With that, I want to ask Ms. Shad if we have any public comment.
Hi, Chair Paz. At this time, we don't have any other attendees on the line.
Thank you. That brings us to the first item on our agenda, which is the consent calendar, which is approval of the Public Engagement Commission meeting minutes of August 24th, 2022. Can we get a motion to approve?
I make a motion. This is Riota. I make a motion. We accept.
I second.
A motion and a second. Motion by Mr. Ibarra, second by Ms. Schneider. All those in favor, I think we need to do roll call because we're on Zoom. So go ahead and do roll call. Ms.
That's correct. Thank you, Chair Paz. Commissioner Klein Rothschild?
I abstain. I wasn't at the meeting. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Massey? Oh, I think she's on mute. Commissioner Massey, are you able to unmute yourself? I'll come back to her.
I thought I was unmuted. Oh. Sorry about that. Oh, I must have hit a 9 instead of a 6. But yes, in favor.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Uribe?
Yes.
Commissioner Ibarra?
Yes.
Commissioner Yao?
Yes, in favor.
Vice Chair Schneider?
Yes.
And Chair Paz?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. That moves us to the next item, which is item B1, update on outreach efforts and strategies to increase Spanish engagement in Goleta. I believe that is Mr. Martinez. Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Good evening. Thank you all for being here. My name is Marcos Martinez, and I'll be sharing the update for Spanish engagement. So let me go ahead and share my screen. Cool. And then just to verify, can everyone see the presentation? Okay. All right. Awesome. All right, so let's get started. So everyone, my name is Marcos Martinez. I've had the privilege to be at a couple of these meetings before. Just a quick run through of my background. I'm also a gaucho. I got a double major in global studies and Chicano studies. And I just finished my master's degree in library and information science with an emphasis on community outreach. Prior to this position, I was over at the Goleta Valley Library, where I led a lot of the bilingual efforts. So bilingual story time, bilingual school tours, bilingual presentations, Spanish book club, tech tutoring. And that kind of just led to this position here. And it just seemed like a great fit with what I've been studying and what I've been working. I told myself that I would come to UCSB and finish in 3 years and then head back home to San Diego. That was 12 years ago. So I am loving this community here. And I just really, I really think that together, you know, we can make a big difference for a lot of the people that need help the most. And something that drew me to the city of Goleta is that, you know, these efforts are not recent. It's a commitment that the city has had in the past. And I think in recent years, they've taken some really measurable and actionable changes that the community can see and appreciate. So in 2018, they actually had a recruitment for bilingual community engagement services with IVYP. 2019, in the engagement plan, they officially included the limited English Spanish speakers into their strategic plan. And in 2021, council approved the funding for this position. And I started here as 10 hours a week. And council saw, you know, like, hey, 10 hours is not enough to meet the needs of this community. So they approved it to full time this at the start of this fiscal year. And I think, you know, firsthand experience, that's like the community can see that. You know, I go to events and I do outreach. I get voicemails from people or like, hey, you know, my cuñada told me that they met you. Can you tell us about this program? So I think it's a marked difference and it's one that the community appreciates. On to the staff side of this, I think it also really consolidates a lot of the work, which creates a very busy schedule, but a very productive one, because now instead of having 7 different employees at the city that like, hey, can you translate this? Can you take this phone call? Can you email this person? It's me, right? So it gets filtered through like, hey, this is the point person that the city has that you can talk to, you can reach out to, and they will get back to you in Spanish, which again, you know, people that are hesitant to work with government organizations and agencies, that's something that they really value, right? Having someone that, you know, like, okay, I can talk to this person. It's been great. I've got to meet a lot of the people and communities, agency stakeholders, which is really interesting. You know, I have been here like literally in Goleta for 12 years and, you know, I'm still meeting new people and new organizations. And I think it just shows a lot of like, I've learned a lot of the communities here, community organizations that are working for the same goal that we have, right? To empower people. And that's been something that I've really appreciated and something I want to build upon. And if we move on to the community goals, you know, I think first and foremost, obviously, is to keep the community informed, right? There are resources and programs out there, and we want people to know about them. That's what I've noticed has always been a big issue, is that gap, right? How do we get this information and these sources out to the people that need it the most? I can tell you, which, because I'm kind of dweeby, what made me really excited was at this past workshop we went to, like a couple came up to me and they're like, hey, do you send out the notifications in Spanish? Like, yeah, that's me. And, oh, okay, yeah, we got them. This is how we heard about this event. So, you know, it's these experiences and these stories of like, it works. What we are doing is working. We'll talk about them a bit later on, but, like, you know, the A-frames in Old Town, flyering in communities and areas we used to not flyer before. I think it's all just building together. And it's a really exciting time to be a part of it. If you see the demographic data here, I think is also really lending support and help the council realize how much we needed or how important it is, right, to reach out to the community. These are the stats from the 2020 census, which had 33.6% of residents in Goleta that identified as Hispanic or Latino. And I think the estimates now are over 35%. And that combined with Spanish is the fastest growing minority group in the US, right? These numbers are just gonna go up, which means that need in our community is also going to continue. And something that I included here as well is over 40% of GUSD students, Goleta Unified students, live in Spanish speaking homes, right? So this effort that we do now is not just for the parents, right? It's something that we're gonna see 5-10 years from now when these kids grow up and they start to have more agency in the community. They wanna get involved in these positions, in the LEAD Academy, and these openings that we have on boards and commissions. So I think this effort isn't just about what we're doing now, but what can happen in the future. And my approach to engagement, something that I've learned is we have to really acknowledge where this community is, right? Where is our Spanish community now? And where do we want them to be, right? And I think through the efforts that we've done is we wanna make something that is attentive, reflective, and proactive, right? So it's not just sitting around and waiting for an opportunity to come up, but really taking the lead and the initiative on like, hey, we should try this program because we are gonna get people, right? We give them that push to really get them to be involved in the city. And that's one of the other, the really key goals that we wanna have is to empower people to have this agency and confidence. I want to be a part of this board and commission, right? I want to go to this meeting and I am confident that I'm gonna be able to speak and present my ideas because this is my community. And I think Spanish engagement, it really just, it sums up to that. Going back to that note of the growth that our engagement efforts have had these past few years, so I included this table right here at the bottom. This is really, really staggering. From 2018 to 2021, right? You see that we doubled in subscribers from 455 in 2018 to 978 on our GovDelivery Spanish subscriber list. That number is actually higher now. I think it's close to 1,100. That's one of the measurable goals that I have is, you know, why stop there? Let's get to 1,500, 1,800, right? And right there, the second line, yes. You know, in 2018, we sent out 8 bulletins in Spanish, the whole year, 8 bulletins. And in 2021, 2022, we sent out 179, right? Of course, in 2020, 2021, we had a lot more because of COVID, so we're sending out more information. So I think it's really good and fair to compare 2021 to 2018, right? And again, going back to that idea, a big part of it is simply just getting this information out to people, right? So us putting the effort in translating materials and having it go out to the community, and also encouraging people and finding ways for them to sign up and subscribe to get these notifications. So it's twofold, and I'm happy to say that's something we've been actively working on, where you can see measurable change. And lastly, if you've pumped a gas at some certain stations, you'll probably seen me in some of the videos. we started producing Spanish language videos, right, about district elections, upcoming events and programs. And I come out in them, los hablo en español, right? I do the full Spanish translation, which, you know, it's something that's like part of a lived experience. When you see something being generated in an authentic method, right, where it's someone that actually speaks Spanish, like as a community member, you value that more because they're making the effort to present to you, you know, authentically, as opposed to having to get someone to do a voiceover, right? And it's these small things that show an investment in the community that people notice, and it makes them appreciate and want to participate more. These are some of the new efforts that I really want to push, just based off some of the things I've seen, not only here, but at my previous places of employment. I think a big thing for us is really going to be partnering with existing organizations, because they already serve the same target demographic, right? They are serving Spanish-speaking families, right? And oftentimes it's like the whole family. They'll have the kids, the cousins, you know, one of the uncles will work there, or the godmother takes the kids there. And these are the people that we want to reach, and we want to get them to sign up to receive more of the notifications. And some of these organizations, you know, Boys and Girls Club, IBYP, they've been here for years. So they have established family ties and family roots that it would be really beneficial for us to take advantage of in sharing more information. The Goleta Valley Library is an amazing resource. There's a lot of public trust in libraries as an institution. So that's a great resource we can use to kind of approach communities in a less imposing manner. You know, it's not this big government institution, it's your local library where you take your kids to story time. You know, they just had an event on Saturday, Star Wars Day. They had 1,400 people for this one event, right? 1,400 people in one day, that if we have and promote city materials there, that's 1,400 people in one day that we share information to. And something really big that I would like to push is having bilingual graphics for social media, right? Because even if it's just that, you know, you're on Facebook or Instagram, that you can see both images, hey, upcoming Elwood workshop, you know, se viene el programa de Elwood, just so that the information is right there. It's quick, it's short, but again, it does mean a lot to people when they see that effort that we're putting in for them to be acknowledged. Expanding who we communicate with, radio stations are very popular. If you've ever been to the opening of a restaurant at 5 or 6 a.m. at a panaderia, when people are working and making bread, they're listening to Spanish radio, right? I think the biggest radio station in Santa Barbara County is a Spanish-speaking radio station. So the range of people that they cover is actually, you know, something we could use to our benefit. And lastly, a huge, huge shout out to Kelly and Jamie, who've been working on our website refresh project. I think that really is going to be a key to reaching out to more people, because, you know, every flyer, every information we send out, visit our website, right? Ven nuestro sitio web. And the way they are working on the website, I think, is going to be a lot more accessible to people, because something that kind of gets glossed over, but is the digital divide, right? These communities often have lower tech literacy skills. So if we make a website that is accessible, that's just going to help us, bottom line, get more people involved. And a cool feature is that I'm really glad they included is Bablik, which is an enhanced translation software. So it translates things more contextually as opposed to verbatim, so that the sentences actually make sense when they get translated, which again is huge, you know, when you want to get the right information out to all these people. Here's just a list, and I really want to emphasize this is just a small list of some of the organizations that are here in town working on and targeting the same community, right? These same demographics. And I think a really big benefit is that when we partner or we try to share information from other organizations, right? There's a trust there that we can take advantage of. Because people trust these organizations, and if they see, hey, the city collaborates with them, right? The city works with them. It's not just an entity, it's actually they are making an effort to work with us and provide relevant information to families. And I think that's huge. That's something that I think is really important to stress, especially for Spanish-speaking families, right? A lot of first-generation ones. There's a lot of hesitation to approach a government entity for help, right? Even with the census, you know, that's always just a huge thing to try to get people to participate. So if we go and reach out to these organizations that are already helping people, it can just make the work a lot easier to capitalize and reach out to them. A big push that I'll be doing, and you'll probably see a lot more of me, are some new ideas for some face-to-face programming, right? And I think it's just making that effort, because a personal goal that I want to see happen is people feel included, right? I want to create a welcoming community where Spanish speakers know that Goleta also belongs to them. You are just as much a part of this community as anyone else, right? Doesn't matter where you live. If you live in Goleta, you are a part of the Goodland. And I really want to bridge that gap, because we had some great attendance, you know, for the Dam Dinner, right? It's over at Stork, Rancho La Patera. Great turnout, but it's kind of always the people that live in that neighborhood. And this past Dam Dinner, I want to say we had over 500 people, or if not close to 500 people in attendance. And people came up to me and they told me, hey, this is the first time, you know, I live over in Old Town. This is the first time that I had ever heard about this program, which is great because we had more people. But to me, it's like, oh man, this, you know, it started like in 2013. What were we not doing right that we had it for, you know, 9 editions, that this is the first time you hear about it, you know? So I want to create a sense that, like, you hear about a program, it doesn't matter if you're on the other side of town, like, they have that confidence and reassurance that, like, yes, I can go and I belong, you know? And that starts with some of the programs I listed here. The Cafecito, I kind of wrote them in Spanish, so I'll translate really quick. Cafecito Comunidad, Coffee and Community, right? If you've seen similar programs, you know, Coffee with a Cop, right? It's very casual, very lax, but it provides that opportunity for really one-on-one dialogue and engagement. Cena Compartida, which is, you know, that Dam Dinner we're talking about. The Lead Academy, which, as you can see in this very commission, that it pays dividends to get some really great people involved with our city. here's just the highlight of this, these three examples, upcoming ones, just go a little bit more in depth onto some of the benefits. You know, it's not just a program, right? All of these examples are not just programs. Hey, I think it's going to be fun, right? It's okay, it's going to be great to get community involved, and then what will we get out of it, right? And what does a community get out of it? So for example, this coffee program, it gives the opportunity for one-on-one dialogue with community members, because I'll tell you right now, at all these events that I go to, half of them have always segued into like, hey, there's an issue on my street, who would I talk to? Or how do I renew my business license? I want to paint my restaurant, I want to get a new sign, you know? So providing more opportunities for people to get answers to the questions that they have, it really recognizes that individual need. And I think even this, you know, it can branch off to something really big. We're like, hey, it's coffee with Marcos, and we're gonna have the planning department come ask questions about this upcoming project, right? But it starts at step one of having this event, and then you build that trust from there on. This community dinner, you know, it's my view is the damn dinner with 500 people that we had, if we could have something like that in Old Town, right? And really cater kind of the theme to what that community enjoys and represents. And just having it in a more accessible location, because I do understand the challenges, you know, accessibility, like that is a huge challenge. Transportation, people don't have cars, right? How am I gonna get my three kids from, you know, Old Town, cross the freeway, over on the other side of Los Carneros, walk into the park, right? What bus route do I take? What multiple buses do I get off on? And like having this, you know, for example, at JDW or at the community center, right? Where it's institutions and places where that community is already attending. If we have events there, that's just gonna make them feel more part of the city and not just an afterthought. And last one, a really big one, is would be like a Goleta Lead Academy, right? A Spanish one, get to know the city. It would be a condensed version of one day. And I'm really looking forward to this event, because I think this one really builds that idea of empowering individuals, right? And having agency and encouraging people to get involved in future city activities, right? I want to be on this board and commission, you know, heck, I want to run to be a council member. And I think it starts at step one, right? Because there are some great community leaders out there. And if we give them this tool to like, hey, you know, these are the resources you can use that will get you to that place to be a better community leader, that's just gonna make our effect that much wider and better in the community. And something that I really want to highlight across these all these programs, that we find times that work for them, right? Because, you know, let's be honest, Spanish-speaking communities, these are people that are working 2 to 3 jobs, right? I cannot have an event 5 p.m. Tuesday. Oh, where's everyone? Okay, well, they're at work. They're picking up their kids, right? You want to make times and locations that are accessible to people. And again, that circles back to partnering with other organizations. Even if it's simply like, you know, tabling or having flyers at the pickup time for the Boys and Girls Club, right? Because they have so many kids, for sure, all these parents are gonna be there Monday through Thursday at, you know, 6:15 to pick up their kids. If that info is there, then they're gonna see it, right? So I really wanna stress that it's not kind of just us, yeah, let's do this program on this day. It's planning out and mapping out what times are gonna work and be most effective to get the most engagement from the community. This just highlights some of those examples we mentioned, right? You know, there's food distributions that happen very often here in town. That would be a great opportunity, again, to share information with people. Picnic in the Park, that's part of the Santa Barbara Food Bank. They offer free lunches through most of the summers at locations across the city. And just working with them to like, hey, let's work with the city to find a prime location where more people can go and attend, right? Food insecurity is actually really, really high in Santa Barbara County. And I think we were ranked, Santa Barbara County a whole was ranked third in child poverty. So you can imagine how that trickles down to have an effect in food insecurity throughout the summer when there's no school. DLAC-ELAC is a group I would really wanna work with, which is, you know, the equivalent of a Spanish PTA, right? English Language Advisory Committee. So it's just all the families that are designated as English learners. And Head Start, you know, Head Start, their site is at the community center, you know, and they have a lot of kids that go there, a lot of families. That's a great resource that we could be working with to share information, especially for these parents that are a young age, because I think, you know, that's something I don't really get to talk a lot about. But everything we do now is just planting a seed for the future, right? And it leads to this, you know, where do we want to be? And where do we want our families to be? Where do we want our community to be? We want to be a city that engages our community, right? They attend the events. We want to inform our community about important projects. And most importantly, we want to empower people to participate and be a part of their local government, right? Have agency. Like, I want to get rid of that idea where, like, it's people feel like an other in their own home, right? Like, oh, I have this idea about this project or this plan, but, you know, oh, they're not going to listen to me, right? I really want to eliminate that in Spanish-speaking communities, you know, because it's everyone deserves a shot, right? And we have some great civic leaders, and I think it just takes one spark. And the reason I'm so passionate about a lot of this is, you know, I'm a product of this experience, of these resources. My community growing up is, you know, you could swap it out with Old Town, and the neighborhood and the community and the stores, all of that is how I grew up, right? And I got to where I am today because, you know, my local government, my little city government, City Hall, was so invested and focused on Spanish engagement that it gave my parents the resources and the tools, you know, to let me have a better life and to be more involved. It's really interesting. I was actually part of my city council as a student representative, and it kind of all just starts from being young, right? Like, you see your parents have these interactions and this success with resources that your city hall is providing. And it gives you as a child that idea and that belief, like, hey, this is a part of what I can do. I can be a part of this, right? They help my parents, you know, it's something I want to do too. And I think that just sets up Goleta for generations of success. Two of the things that I want to highlight that you've probably heard about is the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee that the city started, the DEI, and also working on the language access plan. Those are two things that I am also privileged to be a part of. And an end goal for that really is to establish best practices across all of the departments in City Hall, right? So that we can better include, you know, Spanish speaking resources and people know who on staff they can direct them to. And long term, I think these best practices also set up a groundwork for when we get to that level where we need to have resources in other languages, right? I think Goleta right now, as of 2020, was about 8% that identified as Asian American. And I think that threshold for having a language access plan is like 10%. So just thinking ahead of like what other cultural groups and demographics will also need to be included in the mapping out process. You know, I think that's important too. And this position and the group that Kelly has led, Kelly and Jamie, again, I think that's something that's invaluable, having someone as proactive as both of them are, because that encourages me to like, hey, let's try new ideas, let's reach out. So I just really wanna say thank you and appreciate them for their support. Because I have a lot of excitement, but their leadership really grounds me in like, hey, you know, we need to reach out to all these groups. Let's formulate how and what's the best way to do that. So yeah, I'm very, very, very excited to be here. As you can tell, because I kind of blazed through the presentation, but this is something that I'm really passionate about. It changed my life, right? So I know that our Goleta, our government can also change the lives of all of these people and families in Goleta, and I'm thrilled to be a part of it. I'm excited for what the future holds, and I'm really excited to work with the commission to see how we all can better Goleta and give everyone a shot. So thank you, muchas, muchas gracias. I am 100% open to any feedback, suggestions, and any questions about the programs that we are working on or have worked on. So thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you, Marcos. Commissioners, any questions? Please raise your hand. Oh, I already see Ms. Rothschild, Klein Rothschild. Anyone else? Ms. Uribe?
Me too.
Hold on, Mr. Ibarra. I will go to Ms. Klein Rothschild, Ms. Uribe, Ms. Schneider, and then Mr. Ibarra.
It's really exciting to hear what you're doing. Honestly, I think the work that you're doing, Marcos, in conjunction with what Kelly and Jamie are doing is above and beyond what I've seen from other cities and from the county. There's extensive outreach and opportunities for engagement. My question is, how much do you work together with different populations of language, and how much do you work independently?
Yeah, so my position, you know, it's the umbrella of community relations, right? PIO. So, but it's with that lens of emphasis on Spanish engagement. So I do a lot of like the regular outreach, you know, when we had the State of the City event, the 20th anniversary, the Lemon Festival. So I'll do like regular sharing of information. But my, you know, like a key role is realizing and kind of highlighting like, hey, this press release or this notice should also go out in Spanish, right? So kind of seeing these gaps in services that need to be filled to provide a more inclusive environment. And I mean, I think that would be a good question if Kelly wants to chime in, but you know, it just kind of meshes all in because it really is, I think it's kind of my belief that it's one Goleta, right? Like that's where I want to get to. It's that standard of it is one Goleta. And whatever language we need to produce material in, we're going to produce it because that's the level of excellence that we strive for. So I don't want to like divvy it to only be like, hey, we only need this in Spanish. But I want to get to that point where our standard is, yes, everything we have is, you know, is available and accessible to people that speak English or not. That's like an end game, but it's, yeah, it's just kind of all over.
Commissioner Klein Rothschild, thank you for your question. You know, I concur with what Marcos is saying about the fact that, you know, the goal is for the community relations and for the city of Goleta is that we just strive to do everything we can to engage our Spanish community and make sure that all of our information is going out in Spanish. You know, not being in a position where we're kind of picking and choosing, but just everything we do is available in both languages. So that's the goal for community relations and for the city.
Right. Ms. Uribe.
I'm in heaven, Marcos. I am just in heaven right now because a plan like that is precisely what I've been asking for and what we have been pushing for as a commission. So I am in heaven. All the things that you mentioned, I think, are going to make a big difference in the long run. So I am really happy to hear what you just said, everything. It was great. I have a couple of questions, though. But we have a calendar for all the activities that you mentioned.
Yeah, so that's something. Yeah, a lot of these, I mean, pretty much everything I mentioned is something that I would want to get done this fiscal year. And it's just mapping out like the timeline of events. And I think this is kind of going back to Commissioner Rothschild's question is, we got to fit this in between all of the other community events that we're doing with Goleta, which we have some amazing events. So it's just finding out when I would be free, right? And also that mesh, again, that I mentioned, what time works for these community members, for Spanish speakers, right?
Sure.
You know, I think if I did like two or three of the coffee events, that would be great. And that LEAD Academy, which is something I really, really want to kick off, because I think that can really make a big impact for Spanish speakers. And, you know, I think like both of those, like those coffee events and that LEAD Academy, that could be a great thing to have if any of you would be interested to participate. You know, like, hey, come meet our Spanish engagement specialist and talk to the Public Engagement Commission. You know, like that's a good way to also get you involved and out in the community. Because this commission is pretty diverse, you know, and I think it means a lot for people to view people that look like them in these positions. You know, representation matters. So I think there's a lot of opportunities to have and highlight this diverse effort that we're making.
Yeah. So this cafecito thing, I really would love to attend all of those cafecitos. And also I was thinking as you were speaking about the community dinner, that having, like you mentioned, what is the name now of CAC or Boys and Girls Club or any of those, like in their parking lot or something like that, like you said, very visible, that would be great. And so I'm gonna ask you to please include me. Send me information as soon as you can so I can put it in the calendar, because I would love to attend those.
Yes, definitely, 100%.
Yeah, and bravo, Marcos.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Uribe. Ms. Schneider.
Yeah, I'm overwhelmed and remarkably impressed with the plan you've got laid out. And the work it sounds like you have for the next year is pretty intense. So hopefully you've got a great calendar. I have this very odd question to ask. As I understand Spanish speaking, some people are monolingual and some are bilingual. So Spanish speakers are not simply fully, are conversant, many of them, many in this community, in both Spanish and English. So a lot of what you're suggesting, and I don't know if this is really so, a lot of what you're suggesting partially implies that everybody is not understanding. But some of what your program is offering is really an opportunity to participate. So I think of this as a fairly complicated kind of thing, because the opportunity to participate in Parks and Rec or the Tree Council or anything at this point in time requires people they may speak Spanish, but to know English as well. So I'm just interested in how you think about the complexities of that, because on the one hand, if you take the long-term strategy that you want to empower everybody to be a participant, you're also definitely united with the school system and so on, that's moving people through a variety of programs. But I'm interested in that. And I'm also, so I'm curious about what you would say. At the same time, also, this is such a peculiar kind of thing to say, and everybody's just gonna wince at me, but I'm very, when we had to do the districts and do the districting, one of the things which became clear is that Old Town is only one of the two places in Santa Barbara that has close to a majority Hispanic Latino population. And so I'm interested in how you think about that, because I know that for a lot of people, including a lot of people who are not Spanish speakers, the focus on Old Town sometimes ignores the complexity of who else lives in Goleta who's Spanish speaking or has Spanish speaking parents and relatives. So again, you have a lot of work for this year, but there is a whole other geographic area. And that's an interesting one because it doesn't have the identity that Old Town does as a Spanish speaking, as a Latino community. So I'm just throwing this open for discussion. What you're doing is great and it's plenty of work for right now, but I'm really curious about how you think about some of these things.
Yeah, so let's backtrack a little bit. So the one about encouraging people. So I think this is what, it's one of those things that really draws me to the cities, because I feel like there is a genuine effort, right? Like for example, this past planning workshop that we had for the striping project on Hollister Avenue, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the state of the city address, right? We have the city gets translators, like live translators that are there that are ready to translate to make then an event inclusive.
Right.
The issue that I've noticed is that a lot of times, you know, I think her name is Viviana. She brings like 10 headsets,
right?
You know, and two or three of them will be used.
That's right.
So I view this position as kind of like one, building that trust that encourages people to go and telling them, hey, you can go because there is going to be someone to translate for you. And there's going to be someone to interpret for you. And there's someone going to be there to answer your questions in Spanish. Right. So that's the information sharing that Kelly really motivates us to do, to get that out there, right? Mm-hmm. And then the flip side of that, of what I want to work on is the trust, is I will let you know that is very intimidating to like, híjole, you know, I don't really speak this language. Am I going to go to this program? But mm-hmm. if they've grown accustomed to seeing myself and other city employees at these other events, like, yeah, I want to go. Like, I care about the striping project, right? I care about Elwood. I'm going to go and I'm going to share my info because I know someone is going to be there that can translate and help me out. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, it all just kind of meshes together, especially with working with such a diverse population. That leads into the second question you had about the demographics. I just use Old Town a lot because it reminds me of my hometown. But expanding with the other groups, to me, that cycles back to working with other organizations, you know, like going to like church meetings, social gatherings, going to Isla Vista Youth Projects, going to all these other programs that are not located in Old Town, but are serving huge amounts of families, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's that information sharing. But again, it's making one, that effort to know which organizations are in town and who they're serving, right? Mm-hmm. And then building that relationship. Something that's been interesting is this, you know, coming out of COVID, right? Like wanting to build these relationships of like, hey, is it cool if you have outside visitors now, right? But yeah, I mean, it's just making that effort, right? We can't be in this bubble of only serving one area or one neighborhood because we think they're the ones that get most involved in city politics, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's giving that opportunity to everyone. And us, I think we have a responsibility working here that we make that genuine effort to know where people are, right? And give them that agency to participate.
Thank you.
I do understand. I do get what you mean, especially about Old Town, right? I think that's the default that people approach here.
Right.
But it's being cognizant that this demographic is all of Goleta. It's not just that area.
That's right. Thank you very much. And gosh, I can't do what Sylvia can do because she's fluent in Spanish. But I'd like to figure out a way that I can actually participate in some of these things, because going to the meetings every two months doesn't feel like enough public engagement for me. So I'm trying to figure out how to make that happen. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Schneider. I'm going to go to Mr. Ibarra and then Mr. Yao, and then we'll come back to Ms. Uribe. Mr. Ibarra, if you can unmute.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. Marcos, thank you, Chair Paz. Marcos, muchas gracias. I'm very impressed with the presentation. I'm happy to see that we have increased it to a full-time person. I know that Kelly and Jamie and the city has taken on the responsibility and the task of increasing yards, making a full-time person. So I'm overjoyed of what I've seen. I also am impressed with the outreach with other organizations. I saw the list, and thank you very much for the packet. I'm also happy to see and impressed with the reaching out to empowering individuals that are intimidated, not only by the language, but also by the bureaucracy. I've been involved in bureaucracy for a long time, and even sometimes I'm intimidated by the bureaucracy that exists in organizations and in government. So I'm glad that we have somebody at the locations, for example, the food bank, the picnic in the park, or where you have tables that somebody can say, hey, that's a representative. Like you said, exactly. There's a person from the city. I've seen him before. I can ask him a question. Maybe he knows, maybe he doesn't, but at least I can approach that person. And seeing a person of the same background, it gives them a little bit more confidence and trust. And I think you're gaining trust, and I'm very happy with it. Also, this brings up a point that should not be lost by this commission. This is what happens when certain diverse groups have not had representation in the past. They have to play catch up. They have to play catch up to be able to, one, go to the meetings, two, get enough language sophistication, the sophistication of the political situation to be able to participate. So I think these are small steps, but these are steps for a long game. So I'm very happy with that. My last question to you, Marcos, and to Kelly and Jamie, what can we as commissioners or this commission do to help you in your task? And with that, I say thank you.
Hi, Commissioner Ibarra. Thank you so much. I think I'll let Kelly answer if that's okay for this one.
Please.
Thank you, Commissioner Ibarra, for your question. You know, this commission, you are Goleta ambassadors. You're always spreading the information, hopefully through your own channels and just assisting with getting information out by being our public engagement commission. And yeah, the confines of what this commission can do, which is our meetings. And you know, we appreciate this commission so much and value its importance.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hoover. Let's go to Commissioner Yao, and then we'll go to Commissioner Uribe. Go ahead.
All right. So I find the mention of the LEAD Academy in this really fascinating, as that's how I started my journey with the City Council and this commission. And I guess this question was mostly answered with Commissioner Schneider's question of translators. And it's just that for the LEAD Academy, since a large majority of it is listening to presentations and speech, that will also fall under the category of translator coverage, right?
Yeah, so I think, you know, it's part of the complexity, right? And kind of right. Commissioner Ibarra that you mentioned, it is sometimes playing catch up, right? But the translation services that I think the city provides is really, really great. And in terms of programming, there are people, you know, that you are an English language learner, like my parents speak English, right? They understand English, but they feel so much more comfortable having these resources in Spanish, right? And I think that's something, again, if you want to create a welcoming environment, is you create what's accessible and what the community wants. So I think gotcha. Having the option of, yeah, this program is in Spanish, that in and of itself is very valuable.
Thank you.
Commissioner Uribe, and then Commissioner Klein Rothschild. And then if there are any other comments, I'm gonna ask Ms. Massey if she has any comments, because she's the last commissioner who hasn't spoken at this point in time.
So thank you, Chair Pass. I just would like to make a comment about the catching up, which is true, but I think it's more than catching up. What Marcos is trying to do and we're trying to do is kind of changing their paradigm of a lot of people that come from other countries in which government is who determines and makes decisions and does everything and people just abide by them, right? So in this case, with this outreach thing, we're trying to change that paradigm and say, you are the government, you can do things, you can make decisions alone, but that takes time for people to really understand, because it's been all their lives, it's been something different. So I think that's the non-immediacy of this effort is because of that. Now, the fact that some people may speak English and Spanish and some people only speak Spanish, that will change with the encouragement that Marcos was talking about and with saying, well, you know, I really want to do this. So how, maybe I just need to learn a little bit more English if I have the time. And if they don't even have the time to learn English, which would be the ideal, of course, that's why there are interpreters at the meetings, right? So that person, even if doesn't speak English, that person could listen to the interpreting at the meeting and participate in the same. So I think it's just steps, but some of them take more time, some of them are more difficult to attain. However, we're headed in the right direction, I think.
Thank you, Ms. Uribe. Let's go to Commissioner Klein Rothschild.
Thank you. I just wanted to respond briefly to what Commissioner Ibarra has said. I have really seen tremendous efforts by Kelly and Jamie and Marcos, and outreach is fantastic, really fantastic. It's so many levels in Goleta, much more than any other city I have really seen. And I kudos to all of you. I found personally, in terms of how I can be more helpful, in addition to being on the commission, I see opportunities. I've been cleaning creeks the last few weekends. We've had them in the city of Goleta with a creek cleaning. I'm working the election in Goleta. I did the homeless count in Goleta. And so I just urge you all to think of us as potential resources for you. And if there are events coming up or things coming up, feel free, please, to tap on us and to reach for us. We want to continue to contribute. That's all I wanted to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Klein Rothschild. Those are great suggestions. I want to ask if the Commissioner Massey has anything to add.
Well, it's hard to add anything since it's been well done already by everybody else. They've covered almost everything, it seems to me. But I did want to say that I've been noticing over this last year the increased amount of huge amounts, actually, of dual language information being sent out. And it's so well done. It doesn't look like, well, we stuck the Spanish stuff over here in the corner. It's integrated into it. And I find it really impressive. And of course, Jamie and Kelly have done a great job. And now with Marcos, it's stepped up a little more. And it's all we could ask for, as far as I'm concerned. Thank them.
Thank you, Commissioner Massey. Yeah, I just want to congratulate everyone. Marcos, you're doing a great job. I think this is, you know, people are hungry for information to get involved, and it's showing. People want to see opportunities. And I just want to say that you are heading in that direction to increase it even further. So I think we are well served by this team. I'm always impressed by everything that you all do. It makes me feel very proud to be part of this commission. I think all of us are looking for other opportunities as commissioners to get more involved and represent our city, because we're all here because we do love our place where we live. And so, yes, definitely, I would echo the comments of all the commissioners. Lean on us, use us for other purposes, and definitely use us as sounding boards, obviously without violating a Brown Act and going in that direction. But definitely, if individually we can provide you any feedback, comments, or anything in that regard, I think we're all open to having us be used in those ways or representing the city at events, and happy to do that. So thank you so much. Any other last comments, commissioners? Thank you. Go ahead, Ms. Uribe, go ahead.
I just want to tell Beth and any of you that if you want to come, just come. That will encourage other people to see that, okay, they do not speak the language, but they are participating. So that will set also an example, I think.
Thank you. All right, with that, let us go ahead and move on to the last item on our agenda tonight, which is the, we should ask if there's any public comments. Go ahead.
Yes, Chair Paz, thank you. I just wanted to let you know that there is no public comment at this time.
Thank you. That moves us to the last item on the agenda, which is picking some meeting dates for our commission for next year. And I believe that's, is it Ms. Hoover?
Yes, thank you, Chair Paz. We do have some dates here for you to approve for upcoming meetings. We have Wednesday, February 15th of 2023, April 12th, June 21st, August 23rd, October 18th, and December the 20th, all in 2023, and all at 6 o'clock. PM on a Wednesday.
Can you repeat those? Sorry.
Absolutely. The dates are for 2023, Wednesday nights at 6 p.m., February 15th, April the 12th, June 21st, August 23rd, October 18th, and December 20th.
Thank you, Ms. Hoover. I think we need to approve these. So someone needs to make a motion to approve.
I move that we approve the recommended calendar dates for 2023.
Next second.
I second.
I think Ms. Klein-Rothschild did the second. So motion by Ms. Massey, second by Ms. Klein-Rothschild. I think we need a roll call. Ms. Shaw.
Yes. Hello again, everyone. I'll just go through the roll call again, like Chair Paz said. Commissioner Klein-Rothschild?
Aye.
Commissioner Massey?
Yes.
Commissioner Uribe?
Yes.
Commissioner Ibarra?
Yes.
Youth Commissioner Yao?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schneider?
Yes.
And Chair Paz?
Yes. Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Motion passes. I think the next item is, we're sticking with Ms. Hoover. You have a report for us or anything you want to add to this evening's conversation?
Thank you, Chair Paz. I know how much this group has expressed how much they want to be involved in City of Goleta events, and there's always opportunities to do that. There is upcoming December 3rd, in case you haven't heard, Goleta is having its holiday parade. So please mark that in your calendars for December 3rd. It's a great community event that we had last year and excited to have again this year. Also, just continue with the Know Your District's messaging campaign. This is our very first by district election for the city. There's a lot on the ballot for Goleta voters this year. It's coming up November 8th. People can already drop their ballots off now, mail them in. It's an exciting time for the city with our first by district election. So we just want to make sure that people know their district. They can go to the interactive map on our website and find out their district, and they will be voting for a council member if they're in district one or two this year. So just keep that messaging going. We appreciate your assistance with that. And with that, really, there's nothing else for the director's report.
Thank you, Ms. Hoover. Yes, I've seen the signs. Actually, it's seen the A-frame out by where I live. So it's kind of nice to see that for elections, letting people know. And it's in Spanish as well. So that's great. Thank you. Any future agenda items, commissioners? All right. If there is not, I want to thank everyone for joining us. Thank all the commissioners for being here. We appreciate it. And wish you a wonderful evening. And I think we are adjourned for this evening. So thank you. Take care.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. Thank you.
Bye.
Forgetting with somebody else. I want no one unless that someone is you. I intend to be independently blue. Your love, don't want to borrow, have it today, give back tomorrow, cause my love is your love. Your love is my love is your love. No. The seas, then tell me, please, how are things in Glaucomora? Is that little brook still leaping there? Does it still run down to Donegal through Killybegs, Kilcarry and Kildare? How are things in Glaucomora? Is that willow tree still weeping there? Does that laddie with the twinkling eye come whistling by? And does he walk away sad and dreamy there, not to see me there? So I